reading to you from the 9th chapter of Exodus and the 1st verse. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and speak to him, 'Thus saith the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me.'" Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, friends, I tell you right now, if you watch the news and read the newspapers, you've got to say, well, we certainly are coming down to the end of time. And beloved, I would never be stupid enough to make a date or a time. And people who do are very foolish, because only God the Father knows when Jesus shall come and rapture his church. But it's coming soon. And friends, all this stuff over in the Far East and all this stuff and fighting and stuff, it's very evident. Well, listen, I'm going to be with you for an hour tonight. I always say an hour. I used to be on for an hour, a half an hour. Just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, and let's begin reading from the 3rd verse. "But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin covering." I've titled this tonight, "What Do We Need?" What do we need tonight? People are so confused about what they need. See, we spend a lifetime gathering temporary trinkets. You know, my friends, when we moved from Parker into Hyden's Ranch, I will never forget. My wife had, maybe I'm exaggerating, 10,000 magazines. And they were all stacked up in a nice row. And I said, "Well, now, Jean, we're not taking those magazines with them. There's some tremendous recipes in there." "Okay," I said, "now, where were you going to find them? Are you going to thumb through 10,000 to find one recipe?" Well, when she was gone to work, little Cecil got busy and got rid of all the magazines. And you know what? She actually was relieved and happy. You know, it's so easy to collect things. I've got some things in my garage that really, I don't know why I've got them. They're no good to me, and I'll never use them again. But that's the way all of us are. What profit is there in gaining the whole world, the Bible said, and losing your own soul? You know, this millionaire, just before he died, they asked him, "What would you like if you had one more opportunity?" He said, "I'd like to make one more $1 million. Friends, have you ever been in such a financial position where you didn't need anything? You were just satisfied. You had your house. You've got a nice big savings account. You got a nice car. And you got nice clothes and a position in life. What more do you need? But you know what? Half the time, that's not enough. Woe unto you, rich men, the Bible says. We all leave this world empty-handed. We came in empty-handed, and believe me, we're going to go out the same way. We come in with a cry, and we go out with a groan. God knows our basic needs and provides for them. You see how God provided for our needs in His creative plan? Listen, we must go back to the beginning to discover our basic needs today. I'll tell you something, my friends. I would have loved to have been a gardener in the Garden of Eden. My stars, in the morning, that must have been a beautiful place. Every fruit tree that you would ever want, every animal, every fish, and all in the world they had to do was just take care of it, and so God could come and fellowship with them in the evening. Friends, you know, you heard me say this many times. When was the last time in prayer you told God you loved Him? Did you know He loves to hear that from His children? Why, He sure does. And you see, when Adam and Eve sinned, He cast them out of the garden. It broke God's heart because He, in the cool of the evening, He would come and fellowship with Adam and Eve. But they broke that. People doesn't realize the seriousness of sin. You know, when we go to prison every month and we talk to those men and those women, and I tell them, you know, you know the reason you're here? Oh, yeah, I know. I did the... No, do you know the real basic reason? Because you sinned. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nobody in this world except Jesus has sinned. Now, He was tempted in every way that you and I was tempted, but He sinned not. Why? Because if He did, He could not been this. He could not be our Savior. Now, God knew all that when Him and the Holy Spirit and Jesus made this world. He knew that Jesus was going to have to go to the cross of Calvary. Oh, my friends, and don't you think, you say, oh, well, He's a Son of God. Hey, listen, He dreaded that cross as much as anybody in the world. And out in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He wept tears of blood while His disciples slept, He asked them, can't you stay awake just a little longer? But they went back to sleep. And He prayed the most powerful prayer you will ever hear in this world. Lord, if it's possible for this cup to pass. But what He said, nevertheless, Thy will be done. I remember when I prayed that prayer myself, dear friends. I had a lung tumor, was given up to die. And I was in such terrible pain. And I remember laying in bed one night. My wife was asleep beside me. And all of a sudden, it just appeared to me that I certainly was dying. And I prayed and I prayed. And then all of a sudden I said, but Lord, nevertheless, Thy will be done. And you know, the first thing I did in the morning, I woke up, I heard a robin outside of my window singing. What a joy. You see, God still had work for me to do. And He has work for you to do. And maybe it's not being working in the Garden of Eden, but He has a tremendous harvest for the Christians to do. You know the tragedy, dear friends, of what happens in our churches today. We're building bigger churches, getting bigger organs, making the pews a lot more comfortable, carpeting from side to side. And we really, really are comfortable in church. The preacher gets up and he gives us a little pep talk and tells us about this and that. Oh, friends, what we need is to hear that men and women are dying every day and going to a devil's hell, and it's up to you and me to go out and tell them, witness. You don't have to be a preacher to be a soul winner. In fact, the matter is, there's not really a whole lot of preachers that are soul winners. Let me ask you this. Sunday after Sunday in your church, how many times have you been there and nobody was saved? Not one single soul was saved. And you had a whole raft of visitors. And no one was saved. Friends, I remember when I was a director of the rescue mission in Youngstown, Ohio, this pastor, he had two churches. And it wasn't my denomination, but that's all right. He knew me. And he said, Brother Mo, when I got to go on a two-week vacation, would you come and preach for me in both of my churches? I said, well, you know, I've never preached in your church, or I've never been affiliated too much with your denomination. Oh, he said, you just preach like it's your own church. Well, I said, that's fair enough. I won't have no trouble with that. Let me tell you what happened. I went to this big, fancy, beautiful church. And I got up and I preached. And I asked the organist to play Just As I Am. And she had never played that invitational hymn ever. And she looked frustrated, but she was a professional. And she did a pretty fair job. And I stood up there and I invited men and women to come to Christ. And I had the most horrible feeling. They had never in their lifetime ever heard an invitation. So I went back home that day and I told my wife, I said, man alive, did I create some enemies today. I said, I invited them to trust Christ. The organist didn't even know how to play the Just As I Am. The next Sunday I went back and I said, folks, I'm going to do something I don't normally do in church. I'm going to share my testimony. So I shared my testimony. The organist was prepared to play Just As I Am. And I got up there and I said, folks, look, there's no blood on my hands. I have delivered my message from God, and now I'm going to invite you to come to Christ. Did you know that two Sunday school teachers and a man and a woman came forward and accepted Jesus Christ as Savior? Wow, well, the next week I received a phone call from the preacher. Okay, Brother Mo, what did you do in my church? I said, Pastor, you told me to preach as if it was my own church. Yes, he said, I did. And then he kind of chuckled. He said, Brother Mo, Wednesday night, I could not believe what I saw. He said, we had our Bible study and everything was just going hunky-dory. And he said, when I got done, one of the deacons held up his hand and said, Preacher, can we do what Brother Mo did last? Could we sing an invitation? And he said, well, sure. And they sang Just As I Am. And God filled the altar in that church. People came forward and people came trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Now you say, well, you mean to tell me you don't think that preacher was saved? I never said no such a thing. He said, Cecil, I just got so caught up in the thing that I didn't think it was important to give an invitation. Oh, but friends, it is. The night that Joe Hoskin was saved in the church, I was associate pastor, and I'll tell you right now, I almost did not give an invitation, but I did, and Joe Hoskin was gloriously saved, and he lived on this earth for 2 years. People all over Bellingham, this old drunken Indian who'd spent 4 years in reform school and 7 years in a federal joint. Oh, dear. See, Paul said food and clothing ought to make us content, and we should be. Oh, everybody seeks security, don't we? Of course we do. See, God placed his newly created man in a beautiful, beautiful garden. Excuse me. It contained all manner of trees and plants for his delightful diet. Beauty and bounty were his just for the taking. But in spite of this ideal environment, Adam fell into sin. This shows that our need is not a new birth, B-E-R-T-H, but a new birth, B-I-R-T-H. See, Adam disobeyed in spite of God's love and provision. We also need spiritual food. You know what Jesus said? Man cannot live by bread alone. And we ought to desire the sincere milk of the word, said in 1 Peter. God was graciously providing food for the body and the soul. We need to be faithful. God gave Adam the responsibility of taking care of the garden. And we all need responsibilities in life. We need to work. In the path of duty, we stumble into happiness. You know, I've got an 8-year-old granddaughter. I just love her to pieces. She's a beautiful little girl. And boy, oh, can she sing. I just hope and pray God calls her to be a singer for him. And I asked her today, I said, Jenny, Gina, I said, do you make the bed? Oh, no. Gina, I said, you're at the age when you need to help your mother. You need to make the bed. You need to help wash dishes. My dear, precious sister, my mom was sick all of her life after I was born and after Patty was born. She had a congenital heart disease or leakage of the heart. And so my sister, Betty, who was 3 years older than I was, she washed clothes. She went with the old-fashioned wringer tub, and she made beds, and she cleaned the house. Oh, she was a tremendous worker. She'd even help me milk the cows. She was a tremendous worker, and I thank God because she gave my mom so much help. And you know what my mom asked my sister on her deathbed? She said, Betty, you are one precious, precious girl. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to promise me that you'll go into nurse's training and become a nurse. I really feel led that that's what you should do. My sister couldn't stand the sight of blood. And you know what? She ended up a surgical nurse working in an ER. But she was a tremendous nurse. And I just thank God for people like that. But every one of us have a responsibility in life. It may not be big stuff. Even little retarded children are very good at taking care of business. Thank God for work and the strength to do it. You know, I've asked you to pray for me when I go to prison because my strength is not very good. And like I say, I'll soon be 82 years old. And most people are pretty well quitting by that time. I just want to get started. Oh, friends, you don't know how I love to go to prison and tell those men and women about the love of God. See, we also need to be faithful to God, obeying His will. See, every tree but one was for food. The one exception became Adam's downfall. Let me ask you this. What is your area of temptation and battle today? Focus on all that you have in Christ, and victory will be yours. We need fellowship. The Bible said, God said, it is not good that man should be alone. The one thing about creation that was not good, that man lacked a mate. He didn't have a wife. Ah, but God took care of that. And He did. He put Adam to sleep. That was the first first anesthesia ever known. And He took from his rib and He gave him a woman. Oh, listen, friends. I've been married for 60 years, and I will guarantee you these past 2 weeks my wife's been in Portland or been on the coast with her mother who's 96 years old. Boy, you talk about missing her. You talk about it. I do. I sure do. I don't like to make the bed, but I do it every morning. I don't like to cook my breakfast, but I do it. I sneak out once in a while for lunch. But I don't like housekeeping. Woo! But I've tried to keep the house real clean because she just had it spotless when she left. God knew that man wouldn't be happy alone. And you know what a tragedy. So many women are abused. So many women are taken for granted. That we just think, well, that's what they're supposed to do. That's their job, what they're supposed to do. But I tell you right now, marriage is a blessing. And I ruined my marriage the first 12, 13 years we were married. I was an alcoholic. Oh, how I ruined my marriage. But oh, you know who put it back together? The Lord Jesus Christ. When I was saved, immediately he put our marriage back together, and then my wife accepted Christ. See, marriage is the closest bond of life, the most blessed fellowship. We also need the fellowship of other believers. You know, I can meet a pastor, and it seemed like I've known him all my life. It's a wonderful feeling. See, God's provided for our physical, spiritual, and social needs, and he's also provided forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Listen, friends, God wants to meet you in your special need today, and you have a special need, I'll venture to say. Maybe you're contemplating starting a business, or maybe you're contemplating buying a new house, or changing jobs, or a new car. Whatever it is, I urge you, I plead with you, I beg with you, consider the Lord before you move. You know, if we'd ask the Holy Spirit for every decision that we make, we wouldn't get ourselves in spiritual trouble. No, we wouldn't. Now, the Bible said we'll all sin. We sure do. But you know how you get rid of that? You go to him and you tell him about it. You turn from it, and he said he will forgive us all our sins. Tonight, are you one of those people that you know deep down in your heart that you've sinned today? You know you sinned last night. Maybe you're living with a woman not married to her, or you might be living with a man and you're not married to him. You're living in deep sin. Maybe you're a homosexual and you tell the world that's the way God made you. No, he didn't make you that way. Satan made it that way and you decided you'd want to go along with it. Now, God doesn't hate you and I don't hate you, but I'll guarantee you, if you'll turn from that homosexuality and turn to Jesus, he'll change you and make a new person of you. Tonight, if you don't know Jesus and you're confused and you're concerned about your life, I ask you, consider him. Come to Christ and repent of your sins and open your heart. Let him come in and control your life. Oh, the Christian life is not an unhappy life. It's a good life. It's an exciting life. And here's a prayer that can change your life. Don't you dare pray it unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Save me tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534.
I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. Your notes are much sweeter than mine, and your words have reason and rhyme, and your song will stand through all time. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I want to thank you so much for listening tonight, friends, and I pray that we might have said something that would encourage your heart. I have a prayer that I'd have you pray for me and my wife and the quartet as we go to prisons, that we'll be a blessing, that we'll tell them the truth about eternal life. This God of ours is second chance God. And I want them to know that God can change your life just like he changed my life and like he changed your life. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and God bless you real, real good.